It's hard because I feel like there are a lot of people that are not here that need this a lot more than people that are here. You are here, and I do appreciate that. But I think that there are some others that could use this. But right now, it's time to work on yourself. And the reason why is for some of you, yeshiva is the best place to grow and learn. That when you're in yeshiva, that's where you grow grow the most, where you learn the most. You have chavrusas, you have a structured schedule, you have minyanim. Everything is right around you, and the people are trying to push themselves. You have rabbeim, you have kolel that are around you. You have people that are there, and you're using your time well, building yourself up, and making your whole chashivas into something real. You're turning into a real person. For many people, that's what yeshiva does. It turns you into a more structured person, a more mesudar person, and turns you into a person that really knows what to do and grows along with that. But there are other people. And there are other people who learn better and do more in chaos, that are able to thrive out of chaotic structure when they're not expected to do much and they exceed your expectations. Exceed your expectations. He might not do much in shir, but he may do a lot when you're locked in a room for a little bit. That's the concept of where sometimes you're able to accomplish more in a different type of place. The truth is, I have a brother. This brother never did well in the yeshiva system, and it wasn't for him. Every time he went, he was in yeshiva, it never worked out for him. He just was not happy there. So he went to a secular college where everybody said he shouldn't go, he shouldn't go, he shouldn't go. And I looked at it and I said, I don't know my brother as well as some of the other people did, but I looked at him and I said, this is the type of person who will do well in a college like this. And he went to a regular secular college, but he was the only person on campus who wore a kippah and had tzitzis, and therefore he was taken by the Chabad rabbi on campus and the Hillel rabbi on campus and everybody else in the community. He was in an out-of-town community, and they all grabbed him and said, you're the only from college kid that we know here. So he was needed. Whenever they needed a minion, they called him up. Whenever they wanted a Shabbos getting everyone together, he was the one in charge. He thrived by being the only person around, literally in a land of chaos where it's a party school, and he didn't party. He didn't have time to party. He had to make sure that he was there for minyanim every time. It's like it's just something that you don't think of, something that you don't really consider, but he went to kollel after going to secular college. Like, he decided that he wanted to learn after being in such a place. And there are people like that. There are people that thrive out of something that you don't expect, something that doesn't happen that way. Definitely unexpected, there's no question. But we all know this. People need different experiences, and nobody's just the cookie-cutter type guy, and if you expect everyone to get it the same way, well, you're wrong. That's never going to happen that way. We're all different, and we all need different things in order to become better people. Some of us need the main yeshiva structure and the way that siddurim are made and the way that beinah siddurim are made and the way that a person has Shabbos, etc. And other people can't do that. They survive, and then they thrive when it comes to beinah zman. When you get into a bein hazmanim thing. So it's a Mishnah in Ksuvos, Nun Tesim Abeis, that says, Batalam Aviyah Lidei Shimu. That when a person is batal and doing nothing, it leads them to Shimu. Shimu, I guess, literally can be translated as boredom, but the way the Gemara describes Shimu is Zima, that a person gets into Znus. And the truth is, this Zman of bein hazmanim is a time when you have to be extra careful of everything that's going to be around you. You're going to have terrible influences. You're going to have people who are going to say and do bad things that are around you. Because that's what beinah zmanim is all about. It's about being around other people that are not in the same matziv that you are in yeshiva, that are not doing the same things as you are, and are still trying to be their own guys. So hanging out with the old crew is never a great idea when it's on their terms, where they're calling you up and saying, let's get together and go do something. They're deciding where to go, what to do, and all those types of things. That never works out well. It never works out well. There is nothing you're going to gain from that. Your plan is to be makariv them. You are 100% going to be makarived by them. That's what happens. You'll be marachik yourself really well. But there's no way you're going to be makariv them on their terms, what they want to do, and where they want to hang out. It just can't happen that way. It has to be on you to decide what to do, how to hang out with them, if it's you making the decision and saying, let's hang out and let's do this at this time, that changes everything. It changes absolutely everything about it. Chilling out in the black hole of YouTube is never a good idea. It's never a good idea. Because whenever a person gets involved in something like that, all of a sudden it's 5 a.m. and you didn't realize that you've been there since 5 a.m. the last night. You literally miss the whole day because just the next video looks so much cooler than the last one. And for some of you, it's been 6 months since you've been on YouTube. For others, it's been a day. And you have no idea how many good things you just missed out on from one to the other. There's no way you'll be able to function. There's no way you'll be able to concentrate. It's just one after the other. You cannot let yourself get involved. When we're talking about Zima and Shiyamum, there is no question, absolutely no question that that's right there. As a side note, and we've talked about this before, there is 100% an issue of Isser Yichud D'Oraisa with a cell phone or with your computer. There is no issue. And I would say that even if there's another person in the room with you, there probably is an Isser Yichud. Because Haraya, people are willing to go on YouTube or they're willing to see things on the computer even if they have a roommate. Even if there's another person right next to them, they're willing to do this. And if you have any doubts about this, I can tell you stories where people are watching things that are inappropriate with their wives right next to them, let alone with a roommate who's not exactly next to you, let alone people around. It's just, it's life now. There is no reason for any time during this vacation, unless your wife is 9 months pregnant, and for the Bahram here, we got to talk about that, but unless that's happening, there is absolutely no reason to have your phone anywhere within 10 feet of your bed. And I would tell you, you should have the phone in the family room, plugged in, make sure that it's plugged in there and have the plug sitting there the whole time, or even better, in your parents' room. If you keep it inside there, if it's not your parents' room, then you're, I don't know, your older brother who's a really big yeshiva guy, who's like sitting there, and keep it somewhere where in order for you to access it anytime after 10 o'clock at night, you have to be in an awkward position or something's there. The reason would be the family room not being the greatest because everybody else goes to sleep and you're sitting in the family room, then you again have Yichud D'Oraisa. But that's there. Alarm clock, if anyone ever tells me again that they need their cell phone as an alarm clock, I'm going to smash my phone into pieces. It doesn't make... Do you not know what Walmart is? Do you have any idea? Like, does anybody need $5 to go find an alarm clock? I'll get you an alarm... I'll get 100 alarm clocks. That is not the issue. The phone should never be anywhere near. There is absolutely no need. No need. Again, unless your wife is 9 months pregnant and she's not living with you for some reason because you're a buffer, right? If that's happening, then there is no need for that phone to be anywhere near. You do not need to plug it into your bed. You don't have to check the weather when you get up in the morning. You should just say, Modani, go do Nagovasar, Asher Yotzar, and then afterward, get dressed. And then at some point later on in the day, go check the weather. If you say like, but I don't know what to wear, then just wear a white shirt, black pants, you'll survive. Everything will be fine. Your whole life will be better, right? And that's fine. Then you don't have to worry about anything. There is no reason to have anywhere near there. But that's all a side note. That's one. Just, you got to be careful with what you get involved with. Don't ever jump into Bein HaZmanim. You have a week from right now to when Bein HaZmanim starts. This goes for everyone, from the youngest an 18-year-old bachur to a 37-year-old rebbe. It doesn't make a difference. You can't jump into Bein HaZmanim without thinking about what I'm going to do during that Bein HaZmanim. So what time is Mincha Maariv, wherever you're going? Did you set up? What time is Shkia? Do you know what time Shkia is so that you can make sure that you have a set tefillah that you can go to? Is it starting at 6:50? Is it 6:55? Is it 7 o'clock? Are you going somewhere where the time is a little bit different? Is it going to be a little bit off? What time are you going to have to daven mincha? Is mincha going to be during dinner time with your family? Are you going to have to go to an earlier minyan? Is there an earlier minyan? Can you get a set time where you can daven or have your phone go off? This I'm allowing an alarm clock on during the day with other people around, right? So your phone goes off so you can remind yourself to daven mincha a little bit earlier so you can daven before, right, everything happens. Is there some way to go around? But always remember, what time are the minyanim for Maariv around you? Wherever you are, is there a 9 o'clock minyan, a 9:30 minyan, a 10 o'clock minyan that you can go to? Have options. What are the options for Shacharis? Are the options there, you only have to daven early? Can you go a little bit later? What happens if you wake up a little bit later? What is the latest minyan that I can go to just in case something happens, right? Where whatever, that black hole happened, and then all of a sudden you're there, what are the other options available? That has to be decided beforehand. You have to think about that now, so you don't just jump into it. It's there. You know what to do, how to get there, and how to make your minyanim structure to make sure. Are you learning with the chavrusa? Did you start that yet? Did you get your seder down exactly what you're going to do before Pesach starts? In other words, if you're going to do this now, what's going to be if we decide, okay, we're going to learn at a certain time every day. What are we doing Erev Pesach? Are you learning Erev Pesach? Are you not learning Erev Pesach? What about Chol HaMoed? Don't just decide, I'm going to learn with a guy every morning at 10 o'clock. That ain't happening. You know why that's not happening? Because you don't know what the structure of your day is going to be like. You have to have a set time, and then a secondary time, and a tertiary time. Another time after that, just in case something happens, you have a secondary and tertiary time that can make up anything. That where, if you can't do it then, don't worry, you still have this. And that way, it could also work for Chol HaMoed. It could work for Yom Tovim. What do you have that's going to be set just in case? What happens when he can't do it for some reason? Are you going to be able to be motivated enough to be able to do it on your own? Or are you saying like, no, I can only do this with a chavrusa. This is impossible. What am I going to do? You have to set that up in some way. Are you dating? Does the shadchanim, do the shadchanim know that you're here? Does the Shadchanim know that you're in town, that you're dating? Have you called them yet and said, hey, I have Beis Mano over the next 3 weeks. I'll be a little bit more open. Is there time for you to set something up for me? Can you meet with people during that time, which would be a great time to be see where you're completely available, you have time during the day, can you find out if there's something there? If you talked about this, when you're coming into town, when you're going to be there, does anybody know that? Are you looking for a job over the summer or next year? Can you talk now? Your interviews should be now. I don't want to hear somebody who comes back after Pesach and says, I have 7 interviews to go to. Why in the world? You had 3 weeks off. Why in the world didn't you set it up during that time where you have time off? I know there's so much to do, but you can set up. You have so much to do during Seder. Make sure that you take care of this now. The interviews, the jobs, anything that you have to do, make sure that everything's taken care of now. Set up your resume. You have time. Doctor's appointments, dentists, podiatrists, allergists, I don't know what else you have, eye doctors, make them up now, a week before you have time off. Because if you sit there 6 days before Pesach starts and you say to yourself, I should make an eye doctor appointment, well, you're not going to make one. And then it's all of a sudden everything's over and then you didn't get anything out of it. Everything has to be made at this point so that you make sure that you can get in, you can get a time that's good, it's not Erev Pesach at 4 p.m., right? And you'll be able to get everything you need so that all of your appointments are taken care of and you don't have to worry about what's going to be. Those are all the negatives. Now the positive things. Positive things that you have during this time. You have extra time now. When was the last time that you sat down and talked with your grandparents for an hour about some aspect of their life? Just sit down with them. For lunch, I don't know what you have at your grandparents' house, but I know I'm getting like peanut butter and jelly on like rye bread. I know. It's not white bread. And I know there are some people that like rye bread. I don't call them human. I call them horses. But I'll sit there and I'm going to suffer through it in order to eat my rye bread and my peanut butter and jelly. But I sit down and I talk with my grandparents. I see what were things like. I ask them questions, things that I wouldn't be able to ask. If they're not in town, like my Bubby and Zadie and Eretz Yisrael, so I make a phone call. And I call them up and I say, how's everything going? And I sit there on the phone without having somewhere else to go or something else to do. I set aside times. So you have people that you haven't been able, you've ignored almost over the past couple months because you've been so busy with everything going on, where all of a sudden you're going to have time to be able to talk to someone and ask them, how you doing? How's everything going? Is there an old friend that you haven't seen in a while, whether on or off, that you can maybe influence? Take out for coffee to Emma's, to somewhere out there, and say, hey, can we just sit and talk for a little bit? Well, you can talk to them about what things have been like for the past couple months, ask them how they're feeling, and start going through, try to think, lays there. When was the last time you visited someone who was really sick? Either a hospital visit of someone you know or someone you don't know. Just going to a children's hospital and bringing toys. You spend $5 at a dollar store, you get like the greatest toys of all time that any kid loves, right? And you sit there and you go to a hospital and you just give it out to 5 random kids. When was the last time you did that? And if the answer is never, then I have an idea for you. I think you should do it. It's the greatest feeling in the world. You have no idea what it's like for what these kids feel like when you come inside. I know it from when my kid and there were people coming in all the time. It's the greatest feeling to be able to go around and to say, like I'm going to do there. Granted, it's going to take an hour and a half of your time. You're going to have to go get the toy. You're going to have to go to the hospital. You're going to have to park. You're going to have to ask for where's a good place to go to, who are the right kids to go to. You ask the nurses, right? And then you go in from one place to the other and just hand in. Non-Jewish or Jewish, doesn't make a difference. You're going to make an awesome Kiddush Hashem, and it's going to be great for you. If you want to be all narcissistic and selfish, go ahead. Do it for yourself. And just go in. You'll feel different about everything. Can you donate 2 hours of your time and clean an older person's car so that they don't have to pay yeshiva guys to go do it? Right? Instead of them going, like if you ever see somebody like going around and trying to do it, can you donate 2 hours of your time at some point during the day and clean someone's car, someone you know, and even someone that you don't know, someone that you don't really know that well, but you want to go ahead and help them out because you know they don't have the time. There's a lot of people that are working. If you know an accountant, these people don't have lives ever, right? So now that they're really, with April 15th looming and Pesach's coming up, they don't have time to clean their cars. So who's doing it? The wife with the 17 kids? You can offer it. Say, hey, if you need help cleaning, I have time. I can do it. And if they offer you money, don't take it. Just once in your life, do something just for the chesed of being able to help somebody else. Just doing that. If you really need the 20 bucks, I'll give you 20 bucks. I'll get it. Just call me up and say, I cleaned someone's car. Don't lie to me, please. I will go ahead. I'll take 20 bucks out. I'll make sure you get it. That's the way to go ahead and do it. Can you offer to babysit nieces or nephews and take them somewhere, even your own kids, right? That can work as well, where you can go ahead and take them away from everybody else, where your wife or your sister or your mother gets a well-deserved break, right? And she's not taking care of them, and you bring them to the park or the zoo, which is the greatest place of all time, and just taking them anywhere just so they get out, even the mall, so they can go around in a little train, right? And with a little, you know, all around. Just take them somewhere. It's going to cost you a couple bucks to be able to go there, and then all of a sudden, you just made somebody really happy and really calm during the most stressful times that a person can have during the year, if you can think of doing something like that. We spoke about something else. I highly suggest that you take a friend of yours that is not doing well, whether health-wise or hashkafa-wise or whatever it is, whatever's going on with them, and take him somewhere where you can just sit and talk, whether it's mini golf or bowling. If you're a very competitive person, don't choose either one of those. Choose somewhere really good like the zoo, and just take him somewhere where you can talk to him without any pressure, without anything else going on, right? Maybe it's a coffee, maybe something like that, but again, it's on you. It's not them calling you and it's on their terms. It's on your terms. You decide what you're going to do. You decide where it's going to be. You make all the decisions in this case. There's someone that you know that's like that. And finally, if you haven't been able to do this, but even more so, you can exercise. If you haven't exercised for the last 17 years, but this is the time. This is the time to find the time. During this month, I get it. It's whatever. But you can have time now, where you can actually get up a little bit early, right? And even if you're a little bit more tired during the day, it doesn't really matter because you're running around anyway. So you'll go to sleep a little bit earlier. That helps with the phone thing. So even more so, to be able to exercise early in the morning, whether it's running or working out or doing whatever, playing basketball by yourself with other guys, right, going somewhere, this is like the perfect time to do it. You can start yourself off, and maybe this will start off so well that you'll say to yourself, hey, why don't I continue doing this into this month, right? Well, I can keep doing it that way. That way you have your ability to build up your energy during the day. You'll have more endorphins going for you so that your whole day is good and your night will be set. You'll be wasted tired by the time you go home, by the time you get back. And you'll sit there at 10 o'clock at night, instead of wasting time, you'll sit there and you'll say, you know what, I'm going to go to bed at 10 o'clock tonight so that I can get up at 6 a.m. and start jogging or exercising, etc., after chakras, obviously. You realize that? 6 hours plus two, that's 8 hours of sleep. There's no questions. So now that's the brilliance behind trying to work on yourself and trying to make yourself a little bit better within this structure. The point behind all this is so simple. So simple. You have a job to do during this month. And everybody knows what their job is. Their job is to learn and grow. Learn and grow. Individually and Clolius-wise. That's your job. Some people do a great job of that, and some people don't. There's always the flowers that are like blooming beautifully, and then there's those really weird tulips that are just like growing like to the side a little bit, and they got like stuff going on with them, and you're just like, is that a flower or a dead animal? I can't tell what it is. Yeah, there are certain people that do it really, really well on that, but it's a new Zman. It's a brand new Zman. And I don't mean a brand new Zman after Pesach. I mean a brand new Zman right now of the Bein HaZmanim Zman. It's a Bein HaZmanim Zman where you're taking care of yourself, taking care of others, and building yourself up into being a better human being in an unstructured environment, in an environment where you don't have certain time limits and things to do. Just don't sleep all day. Just don't. It's a waste of your life. It's a waste of your talents. And it's a waste in the world that needs you. It is literally a complete and utter waste. You're flushing your entire life down the toilet when you do it. And there's nothing that comes from it. The malachim are crying in Shemayim when they see you sleep through until 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning. It's just a waste of everyone, everything, everything that's in this world. It's the worst thing you can do. I would rather you get up and sin than sleep until 10 o'clock. I don't really mean that, but I somewhat mean that. I do. I somewhat mean it. It makes no sense to me when a person wastes themselves and all their kochos and everything they have. They cry when you're playing video games. They cry when you're wasting your time. That's what it is. Malachim shouldn't be crying. They're not supposed to cry. I don't even know how they cry. But they do. Yitzchak's eyes went blind from it. So clearly they cry. So there's something going on here. Instead, the malachim should be singing your praises in the ears of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So make yourself proud of you. Make yourself look at everything you do and say, that was an unbelievably productive Bein HaZmanim. Exceed your unexpectations for what a Bein HaZmanim is supposed to be. And look at it afterward. Come back to the Zman revitalized, re-energized, ready to do what you know you were made for, what you know that you can do. Because the Zman, we're limited. We can't do much. There's not much that we can take out within the structure of the day to make it better for you. There's not much we can do. The reality of our life in a Zman, in a yeshiva is that we're limited. It's just limited. Once in a while playing a game instead of Seder, once in a while going on a little bit of a trip, once in a while being able to break this and learn something else instead of what we're doing, we can do that. But the basic structure and rigidity of a Zman is to be able to tell you, here's what life is, and it's got to be Mesudar and trying to get you. But if you're not that person, then use your unstructured time, the time that's not that way, the time where you really can grow, and use it to become something greater, to become something better. You can do it. I know you can do it. Everybody here can do it. But I mean really do it. Make us proud of you, prouder than you are of yourself. Have a good week, everyone.